Good morning, church. If you don't know me, my name's Elisa. I'm a retired leader. No, but apparently I am. So God gave me this message a few weeks ago, and to be honest, I've just been chewing it. I haven't been able to put it down. So I often know that means God's going to do some stuff, so great. So I'm going to read through Isaiah. Now, before I read this passage, Isaiah was a wordsmith, he was a prophet. He painted poetry with words. And so a lot of the scripture is visual, it refers to other things. So kind of have your heart open to that. The book of Isaiah is in three sections: judgment, comfort, and hope. And the bit I'm reading today is about comfort, which is good. So Isaiah 54, I'm going to read in the Message, 1-8. Sing, barren woman who has never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you who've never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women. God says so. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. You'll forget all about the humiliations of your youth, and the indignities of being a widow will fade from memory. For your Maker is your bridegroom, his name, God of the angel armies. Your Redeemer is the Holy of Israel, known as God of the whole earth. You are like an abandoned wife, devastated with grief, and God welcomed you back, like a woman married young and then left, says your God. Your Redeemer God says, I left you, but only for a moment. Now, with enormous compassion, I'm bringing you back. In an outburst of anger, I turned my back on you, but only for a moment, with lasting love that I'm tenderly caring for you. Can we have the next slide, please? So, Roger and I went to Italy, and it was a big birthday of his. And when we were planning the holiday, at first we were going to go to one place. And I really felt God say we needed to do it bigger. So in the end, we did a grand tour of Italy. And if you know me well, you know I'm not a brilliant traveller, in that I worry about it all. But God said he wanted to do more. And this is what this talk birthed out of. So, I believe that God is calling this church to expansion, not just in people, although I do think God would call new people here. I think he wants us to expand to the right and the left, like the scripture says. Now, I'm assuming you can see that's a tent. I did want to bring a tent, but the one we had at home was too big for the stage. So you'll have to put up with the picture. So the scripture in Isaiah talks about a tent, because in those days, a lot of them lived in tents. So it talks directly to how people live. But it also calls it habitation, the place where you're at, the place you live. God wants expansion. He wants it in our gifting. He wants it in our vision. He wants it in the opportunities of life. So that holiday was just a holiday. But God wanted to expand flourishing, proving that I can do things, showing me that life is not about things that are stopped, but things that are increased. Mindsets, opportunities in life. Now, I love the fact that this word talks about to the right and the left, because that means new ground. It means ground of the enemy. It means that there's extra space. I love that the message says it gives elbow room too. Now, when I think of that, I think of jumble sales when I was younger. And we used to go and get clothes for the kids because we didn't have much money. And I tell you, the old ladies, well, they had their elbows out to get there first. Elbow room. So he's talking about the places that have been barren. He's talking about this childless lady who has had disgrace. He's using that picture. If you were childless in those days, you had nobody to feed you, basically, because your kids worked. Nobody to look after you in your old age. So think about the barren places that we've got in our own lives. Maybe where things have not worked out how we thought. Because life has bumps in the road. Or rocks. Or hills. It's a call to not hold back. One of the things about that holiday is the fact that I have physical issues. I could say, oh, I can't do anything. And God said to me, no, I'm showing you to think bigger. It talks about returning to God. God was angry with them for a moment, and that moment was sin. Because they did their own thing, they went their own way. He was talking to the city of Jerusalem. It says, strengthen your stakes. Be courageous. Cure. Help. Repair. Fortify. Conquer. Make strong. Strengthen your stakes. Invest in God. Get back into God. Kids, young people, they're into things, aren't they? Let us be a people that is into God. Yeah? So, William Carey says, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. I've always read that until this message, and I thought, actually, hang on. Attempt. We're allowed to attempt. You know? There's always a beginning. You're always learning. Attempt great things from God. So, this represents one of the tent ropes, okay? And you have to have it in tension on a stake, a peg. Because otherwise, your habitation falls down in the English wind. Okay? Doesn't it just? Physical action is needed to step into the things that God's got for you. And lengthening means moving towards. It means stretching. Stretching is needed for flourishing. Otherwise, we become stagnant, like a pond where there's no life in it. Too much algae, no oxygen, no fish. If we stretch in life, we actually flourish. God wants us to do new things. He's doing new things all the time. Actually, we get bored of doing old things. It's in that place of stretching and tension where character is built, learning happens, and growth happens. I believe God is giving us a bigger ceiling. I saw a box with the lid off, that actually there's more space in God for us to do things, whether that's in your personal life, in your family, in your work, in your church, here, or in the community, in your prayer life, in your gifting. When I looked at all the Greek and Hebrew stuff, it said, bend away from sin. What a great way of saying it. I love that. Bend. Actually, you know, we do it step by step. That's kind of bending, isn't it? We're also meant to pass the baton on. So you might have been doing kids' work for 50 years, and God's calling you to something else, because somebody else might need to be doing kids' work. That's expansion. I just want to talk about those barren places. The picture that he paints is of a woman who's desperate for a child, who didn't manage it. But he's saying, rejoice in that area because I am going to. Next slide, please. He talks about coming out of the desolations. Just check we got the right one. That's an I. Now, he talked about the fact that he was angry for a moment. When I looked at the words directly from the Hebrew and the Greek, it said a blink of an eye. How often do we think of our sin and think of it and think of it and think of it and think God's angry forever? It's not. It's a blink of an eye. That gives us perspective, doesn't it? We're allowed to make mistakes. At music practice, I hadn't sung for years up the front. So I was given an opportunity to have a lead at music practice, and Jamie was exceedingly patient because I got it wrong about 5 times. But we're allowed to learn. We're allowed to make mistakes. This church, it's okay to make mistakes as long as we're learning in the process. Susan Jeffers, who's a psychologist, says, If you haven't made mistakes lately, you're doing something wrong. Next slide, please. Now, this is a complicated slide. It is. It's a vanishing point. This made me dance around the house when God explained what he was talking about. I love the fact, I'm very pictorial, so he was talking about the fact that in a blink of an eye, his anger is a short moment, and then his everlasting kindness happens. Now, if you read what that means, it means that his kindness goes on forever like a vanishing point. It also talks in that scripture about hearts that are grieved, that he gathers and grasps people, that he mislays their shame. In art, if you're drawing buildings, you have a vanishing point, and all the structure of the buildings is off the vanishing point. So you use that vanishing point to do your perspective. So our perspective should be that God is going to do expansive things because he's a God in a blink of an eye, forgets his anger, forgives our sin, gathers the hearts or the people who've maybe not done it right, and then he loves them forever. His kindness goes on forever and ever. He makes a covenant. He makes a treaty. It gives us a safe place to grow. It gives us a place to take risks for God. Because this is the character of the God who tells us he's going to enlarge things. Isaiah 54, verse 11. Afflicted city, storm-battered, unpitied. I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphires. Construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls with precious stones. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. God's rebuilding the barren places, and he wants to expand your horizons. Next slide, please. Now, this is Pompeii. So imagine 36 degrees temperature, no shade, cobbled streets, walking sticks and wheelchairs. We booked a tour and they cancelled it because they said I'd never get round it. But it was one of the things I'd always wanted to see since I was a child. So we decided that I might not be able to do it the same as everybody else, but I was surely going to have a go. There's often difficulties in life, and there's things that make life a difficult terrain. I called this talk Stepping Over Fear, because often when expansion comes, we get the wobbles, don't we? Before Italy, I got the wobbles, especially when packing. I'm hopeless at it. I want to take all of my wardrobe and they won't allow it. So there is often difficulties when we expand things, and often fear. So, Isaiah 41. Next slide, please. Let me find it. Verse 10. But you, Israel, are my servants, you, Jacob, my first choice, descendants of my good friend Abraham. I pulled you in from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you're my servant, serving on my side. I've picked you, I haven't dropped you. Don't panic, I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I will give you strength, I will help you, I will hold you steady, keeping a firm grip on you. Don't panic. Do you know that there's 365 do not fears in the Bible? And do you know that when you actually step out, most of the time you have to do it, even if you've got the collie wobbles? Yeah? Don't panic. There's things that some of you, I think, have to get over in order for the expansion to happen. How do we do things so that we can keep going? There's practical preparation. I didn't just come up here having not read my Bible and, you know, winged it. I spent quite a lot of time preparing. Prayer is fabulous. The Bible, well, like I said, it makes me run around the room going, yeah. And people with wisdom, godly wisdom, help you get where you're going. Earlier I said, get back into God. Well, God goes with us. We often listen to the enemy's voice. And what did that word say? I have a firm grip on you. In other words, I am with you. I'm not letting you go. I'm in front of you in fearful situations. I will strengthen you, help you, give support to. Does that sound good? God's on our side. God has a relationship with us. And once you know that he's this type of God, you can get over those collie wobbles. Now, I believe there's some people here who've been stuck in disappointment. You've been stuck in a situation where things didn't go quite as planned and you're stuck there. And I want to say to you, God wants to change that situation. He wants to move you on. There's time to be stuck, there's time to deal with it, and there's time for healing and moving on. Seek someone out afterwards. Ask for prayer for that disappointment. God wants to stretch your life and do new things. I was going to read Titus, but the time's moving on. Stuart, in his preach the other week, I could have kissed you, Stuart. You got it just right. Yeah. He was talking in about strengthening one another with the stories of God. And I saw a picture of weaving, where all the threads are weaved together to give strength. We strengthen each other. And in Titus, it's talking about teaching, but it talks about the fact that you pass it on from the older ladies to the younger ladies, the older men to the younger men to the children, that actually there's no one here who can't pass on encouragement. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to get to acts of love and good works." We need to pass the baton on so we keep finishing. That we're prepared to climb over the fear and the mistakes and have a go. Growth occurs when God's call you to do something and blesses you as a response. I believe many of you are called to do new things. So, anyway, that's my time. So, please seek people out if you're stuck, if you've got disappointments, if you're just struggling to step over that fear, or if you feel that disgrace, because God is a God of everlasting kindness and wants to do stuff in your life. All right.